app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Another ceasefire proposal is in the works between Israel and Hamas. That deal brokered by Egypt. As the war nears the three-month mark, President Biden has bypassed Congress to send more aid. ABC's Andy Field has more.
Since Congress left on break without passing more aid to Israel, the U.S. State Department made an emergency determination that it could not wait to help that nation with additional war funding. President Biden sending another nearly $148 million in military equipment, including parts, to make the 155-millimeter shells Israel had already purchased. The president's $106 billion aid to Israel, Ukraine, and other needed requests is still stalled in Congress.
The Trump campaign says it is appealing Maine's 14th Amendment ruling disqualifying the former president from appearing on the state's primary ballot. The state secretary says due to his role in the January 6th insurrection. Stocks ended slightly lower on the last day of trading of the year, but overall stocks ending up for 2023. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Elections Commission is rejecting a complaint to keep Donald Trump's name off next year's presidential ballots in Wisconsin. Minocqua activist Kirk Bangstad filed the complaint yesterday. The recusal is a matter of commission policy. Bangstad now says he'll file a lawsuit to keep Trump's name off Wisconsin ballots. High rates of flu, RSV, and COVID-19 persist in Wisconsin. State epidemiologist Dr. Tom Hout says he doesn't expect any letup until sometime next month.
We're really optimistic and hopeful that we will see peak activity in January along with the other viruses, and we will start seeing a decline shortly after that.
Two children under the age of five died from RSV in Wisconsin last week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. While a lack of typical cold weather has been a hindrance for many northern businesses, some are seeing a boost from a lack of alternatives. According to a Fox 21 report, Lake Superior Railroad Museum Executive Director Ken Bueller says the inability to ski, snowmobile, or ice fish has led people to turn to places like the museum. The museum reports that with the last week of rain instead of ice and snow, attendance increased by 10 to 12% as indoor attractions became the only available entertainment options. The United Way of Wisconsin has announced a new confidential phone service to connect residents with critical resources. 211 Wisconsin will help residents find food, housing, transportation, utility assistance, and interpersonal violence community-based service providers. The search tool has been designed to make it as simple as possible to connect Wisconsinites with the services that they need in each county. The navigation tool will be free for anybody to use as an enhancement of a local service. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Packers head to Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the border battle. The Packers and the Vikings on Sunday Night Football, New Year's Eve, inside the big glass box with huge speakers. In downtown Minneapolis, known as U.S. Bank Stadium, both teams at 7-8, still alive for a playoff spot. Matt LaFleur.
I think this is one of the best venues to go play a football game in. Their fans are very supportive of the home team, and they do a great job of making it chaotic for the opposing team, especially for opposing offenses.
College football, the Badgers are in Tampa getting ready for Monday's ReliaQuest Bowl. Kickoff 11 a.m. on New Year's Day. Luke Fickle says to beat number 13th ranked LSU, he's counting on Wisconsin's offensive line.
You know, I really like where we are with those five guys, the Jack Nelsons and you know, Riley Malmans and Joe Hubers. It's played a lot of football. In particular, those guys have got to be tough, nasty dudes.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickle. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight to low in the low 20s.
Mostly cloudy tomorrow, a few flurries in the afternoon and evening, a high in the low 30s. Some snow showers tomorrow night, then more clouds and low 30s for Sunday. Sunshine is back for New Year's Day Monday, high near 30, currently 35 degrees.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Warning, you're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Dom, I'd like to call this the Rojo's Wrong edition, or just another Tuesday here in the great state of Wisconsin.
It's often that Senator Rojo, Ron Johnson is Ron Crudy. Good to see you. Nate, thank you. Our fair audience, thanks for tuning in.
Dom, we're going to turn a little less political at the bottom of the hour, 4:30. Our friends, Cass Riddle, and I believe her daughter, coming from Santa's Without Chimneys. And, you know, I don't do a lot of charity work. You know, I'm just not charitable. Kind of like you.
Oh, come on.
You Scrooge, but anyway.
Community service. When ordered by the judge, Crudy, I know you'd follow through with that, right?
Can't talk about that on the radio. Here's the only good deed I try to do each year, and that is support Santa's Without Chimneys, because they are the ones that give Christmas presents to homeless kids. And we're going to catch up with Chaos. 9 years ago today, the first time we did this on the air.
Wow.
So this is my favorite cause. And, you know, it's about the only damn good deed I do all year. So today's all your right. day.
Today's the day. Mark it on the calendar. Chaos coming at 4. What time? 4:30?
4:30, Chaos Riddle.
Santa's Without Chimneys. Awesome. Look
and the
to up.
Solidarity Realty Mad Radio 92.7 FM studios right here in Madison with me, Dom. Also, Dom, you know, the speaker, Mike Johnson, this guy. Getting to know more about this guy.
Mega Mike.
He is going to lecture us later in the show. We've got the sound, the speaker lecturing us on what a real impeachment should look like. Not like the sham impeachment, the political impeachment of the last guy, question mark?
The perfect phone call or the perfect insurrection? Or both.
Or both. You know, but they got a plan. If they could only get the votes for an impeachment action or whatever they're calling it, then they could get the subpoenas. And then, Dom, here's the plan. Then they're going to find some evidence. And then they'll be able to impeach Joe Biden.
It's like the underwear gnomes, man, right? Step one, steal underwear. Not sure on step two, but step three is profit. Definitely profit.
But shouldn't there be actual clear allegations supported by evidence before you go to the impeachment process, Dom?
I mean, there's all sorts of allegations, Curdy. Those are easy to find.
You got
to
win evidence. Infer the evidence, Dom.
Yeah, a little harder to find, But also on that same topic, perhaps we'll get there as well. Apparently, you know, no big deal that Donald Trump took in lots of money while a president from overseas sources. I wonder what Mega Mike has to say about those issues.
We'll save that to the happy hour. Let's start closer to home. Let's start with Ron Johnson, Rojo, your buddy, former friend of the Devil's Advocates radio show.
My buddy.
Rojo's wrong today, Dom, and that's not an uncommon happening. You know, Rojo's been wrong before, but we can prove Rojo's wrong. He went on the CNN. That's his first problem, Dom. He went somewhere where it wasn't hosted by Maria Bartiromo or one of the Foxy News people. You know, if you go out in front of a real journalist like Caitlin Collins, and I know you like her. We met her first at the Orpheum Theater, a Bernie Sanders event back in like early 2016. But she's moving up in the world, Dom, and she's a damn good journalist.
Oh, that's
Rojo was not ready.
When Trump came to town, what northern town we were at in Wisconsin when Trump was running. You remember?
Were we
that?
Up at the Mosinee Airport?
Yeah, there you go. Mosinee. Thank you for that. Yes. I do like Caitlin Collins. Yes. We've seen
her. She's very good. Let's play the sound of Caitlin Collins interviewing the Rojo, the aforementioned U.S. Senator from the great state of Wisconsin, Ron Johnson, on the CNNs.
Sells out of a nuisance lawsuit. They agreed
the
electors to settle a nuisance lawsuit that never should have been brought.
So you think it's fine that someone...
It's a harassment lawsuit. It's a travesty of justice.
You think it's fine that someone who tried to overturn a legitimate election is still on a
Democrat
board that
Democrat electors have
certifies.
Done that repeatedly. Democrats have done...
Which
Democrats
one?
Have done the same thing.
In Wisconsin,
tried
there's
to criminalize
been
it.
Fake slates of electors?
No, it's happened in different states.
Which one,
didn't come
sir?
Prepared to give you the exact states, but it's happened repeatedly. It has happened repeatedly. Just go check the books.
Which books?
I mean, there have been alternate slates of electors by Democrat electors in our history. Again, this wasn't what this interview is going to be about. I'll come and I'll provide you the information, but I'm
okay,
absolutely
I look
certain
forward
about
to,
that.
I look forward to your office sending that information. We'll publish it if it's accurate.
That.
Senator Ron.
If it's accurate.
If it's accurate, if it's correct, if it's real.
Tom, it might lack some context. And is he going to mail over the whole book? Some people.
It's the books. You just got to check the books. I mean, it's obvious. Everything's in the books, man.
I think Ron's got two sets of books.
Yeah.
Anyways, Tom, unless it's in the Bible, I don't know what he's referencing because, of course, you hear many allusions to what the Hawaii circumstance in the election between Nixon and Kennedy, 1960, I believe that was. And the differential in the vote was 141 statewide in the vote count. And in fact, they had not canvassed the vote. There were still many questions about the validity of the count. And there were two slates of electors that would put up. But they did that fully transparently, Dom.
Yeah.
Here's what I did know. I did not know in 1876, there were alternative electors offered down south as well. There was a contested election. Tilden Rutherford B. Hayes. So, well, you know, he's pulling out his 1876 yeah. book, perhaps.
All right.
Of this history I had to learn just to educate myself to find out, does Ron have a valid point? And I would say after, you know, doing some Googling, Dom, he does not. Down south, South Carolina, 1876. South Carolina was one of three southern states that quickly became disputed after the popular vote had been cast in November. Florida and Louisiana were the other two. The Republican candidate, Rutherford Hayes, needed all three of these states for an electoral college victory, whereas Samuel Tilden needed just one. And Tilden's position was strongest in Florida. In fact, an honest count of the ballots would have shown Tilden the state's winner. His party, State of Electors in Florida, also met on a congressionally designated day for all electors in every state to cast their electoral college votes. But unlike in South Carolina, as we shall focus on momentarily, I'm not going to focus on South Carolina. Tilden's Florida electors were backed by an official of the state's government, Florida Attorney General, a Democrat, who purported to certify Tilden the winner of the state. On the same day, however, Republican electors in Florida voted for Hayes, backed by the certification from the state's cabinet board that Hayes had won the state. And in parentheticals, it says, as a consequence of the board's dishonest counting of the ballots. Later, Florida's judiciary and legislature would act to undo the canvassing board's certification in favor of Hayes. An additional documentation of Tilden's popular vote victory in the state would be sent to Congress to supplement the attorney general's initial declaration of this result. Now, I'm sourcing just security here, and this piece is written by the head of constitutional law at the University of Ohio State, the Ohio State Law School. I'll get to the author's name in just a minute. So he goes through this historical context and maybe, you know, trying to give the full benefit of the doubt. Maybe this is what Rojo meant. This Tilden, Rutherford P. Hayes thing down south, and they were contested. And ultimately, the Elections Commission found that in South Carolina, there had been completely fake electors sent. South Carolina, they just went out and said, we cast for this guy. You know, much like the, let's say, the
fake
Trump electors in the 2020, right? Well, anyways, the law school professor, this constitutional law professor over at Just Security, tries to, you know, see if there's enough analogous information here about whether or not there should be prosecutions. And this is the part I'd like to maybe bring to the attention of U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, who might need a good criminal effing defense attorney. I'm just saying. I'm going to bring this piece to conclusion if I could. Consequently, one can take the position that the perpetrators of the big lie, knowing that it was false and knowing that they could not prove otherwise, deserve criminal prosecution for the entirety of their conspiracy to defraud the United States of the correct outcome of the 2020, which is a proposition different from arguing that the individual submission of electoral votes on behalf of Trump was itself a criminal offense. So it's not so much the individual electors. They might have been duped, part of this. Just hang with me a little bit longer here. Indeed, some of these individuals willing to submit electoral votes on behalf of Trump may be more appropriately viewed as victims of the big lie conspiracy to defraud the electoral process rather than the perpetrators of the conspiracy. Which side of the line any particular individual is on should be seen as based on the specific facts concerning the individual's involvement with the big lie claims. If, for example, the chair of a state party, think Wisconsin, a person who was actively coordinating with members of the Trump campaign to knowingly convert that falsehood that Trump had won the election into congressional proceedings that would ratify that fraud, then there is a case that that individual to be considered part of the overall plot. But if someone simply signed an alternative state of electoral votes, having been falsely told by others that there was grounds for claiming that the Trump rather than Biden won the state, and in the hope, although far-fetched, that the courts or state authorities would later recognize them as such, then this particular individual was amongst those defrauded by the big lie conspiracy. So how much you knew determines whether or not you are a victim or a criminal. But my understanding is the senator from the great state of Wisconsin was a willing participant in the big conspiracy, Dom, the big lie. He knew Joe Biden didn't win the state of Wisconsin. He did the math, right? 51,000 less votes for Trump than there were for legislative Republicans in the state of Wisconsin.
He is recorded doing the math, explaining why Donald Trump did not win and down ticket Republicans did. He knew. He went against it anyway. I got more on this topic. Rojo, the subject matter. Join us 844-967-2789.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Make organizing your home your first New Year's resolution with help from Menards. Keep your home organized with Closet Culture Closet Solutions. They're easy to adapt and made with steel, wire mesh, and wood, creating a sturdy storage solution. Get an 8-foot steel and wood closet system for $499.98. Check out this and more great deals going on now during Menards' New Year's sale. Price is good through December 31st.
Save big money at Menards.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The big and tall of political talk.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's the 420 break. You can join us on the lines today at 844-967-2789. Crudy talking about Ron Johnson and his interview. Caitlin Collins at CNN. Nate, I know we played it once. Let's play it one more time. I really love the awkward silence that Ron Johnson finds himself in when he can't answer the question or won't answer the question. Play that one more time. I got a piece I want to reference as well, please, Nate.
Sells out of a nuisance lawsuit. They agreed to get to settle a nuisance lawsuit that never should have been brought.
So you think it's fine that someone...
It's a harassment lawsuit. It's a travesty of justice.
You think it's fine that someone who tried to overturn a legitimate election is still on a board?
Democrat electors have done that repeatedly. Democrats have done...
Bob Spitz.
Democrats have done the same thing.
In Wisconsin, there's been fake slates of electors?
No, it's happened in different states.
Which one,
sir? I didn't come prepared to give you the exact states, but it's happened repeatedly. It has happened repeatedly. Just go check the books.
Which books?
I mean, there have been alternate slates of electors by Democrat electors in our history. Again, this wasn't what this interview was going to be about. I'll come and I'll provide you the information, but I'm
okay,
absolutely
certain
about
to,
that.
I look forward to your office sending that information. We'll publish it if it's accurate.
That.
Senator Ron.
The most generous reading on this I can possibly give is the Tilden Rutherford B. Hayes 1876, and apparently there were some false votes cast. Electors cast from South Carolina, they were disallowed, and technically nobody was prosecuted back then. But then the very writer of the article, who is the head of the Constitutional Law Division at Ohio State University, claims that this is different. This action is different. And Edward B. Foley, Dr. Foley, thinks that the 2020 participants, those that were in on the greater lie, that knew that this was not the truth, they should be prosecuted, Tom. Nuisance lawsuits. Sounds a little Trumpian, doesn't he?
He certainly does these days. Fox 5 Atlanta, back in August, of course, Fani Willis, Fulton County DA, going after those false electors. Again, this has been a topic. This Ron references, so let's get to their piece. Three big differences between the 1960 Hawaii electors and the 2020 Georgia Trump electors. I'm going to jump into the piece. Three big issues. One, secrecy. Hawaii's first presidential election as a state was a nail-biter. So close, the governor first certified Richard Nixon as the winner over John Kennedy by 141 votes. Very close. Both parties decided to send their own slates of electors to Congress. They did it openly. Trump electors originally did not. They gathered in room 216, again, this is Georgia, hoping no one would even know why they were there. According to this week's indictment, then state GOP Chairman David Schaefer organized the meeting. He sent a text to individual four. Listen, tell them to go straight to room 216 to avoid drawing attention to what we are doing, quote unquote. Robert Sinners, the Trump campaign Georgia director for Election Day operations, emailed the alternate electors asking for their, quote, complete discretion. At no point should you mention anything to do with the presidential electors or speak to the media. The meeting was only exposed after independent news commentator George Chidi poked his head through the door. He said they told him it was an education meeting. It was plainly not an education meeting, he said. Sinners eventually testified to the January 6th committee and the Fulton Special County Purpose Grand Jury. I didn't know at the time that had been, you know, the kind of shadow strategy, he told the January 6th investigators. And we were kind of useful idiots or rubes at that point. Sinners said he felt ashamed to be a part of the scheme. What they did was a little different than Hawaii in that they, like I said, schemed and planned this without the public's knowledge, said J. Tom Morgan, the former DeKalb County DA. So, secrecy, one big difference. Another big difference, recounts. Hawaii had not finished a partial recount by the time both parties decided to choose their electors. But on the day Trump electors met, Georgia had already counted its ballots not once, but three times. At the end of each, Joe Biden was still the winner. And the third big difference, the false allegation of fraud. Neither party suggested wrongdoing in the Hawaii vote count. In Georgia, Trump lawsuits have been routinely dismissed for lack of evidence or standing. Two appeals were pending before the U.S. Supreme Court at the time Schaefer gathered his electors. That's the reasoning Schaefer gave reporters on the day of the meeting after the true reason for the gathering was made public. Because the president's lawsuit contesting the election had not been decided or even heard, we held this meeting to preserve his right, Schaefer said. If we had not held the meeting, then his lawsuit would have effectively been mooted. Both Trump's lawsuits were dismissed by the U.S. Supreme Court. Hawaii's governor eventually certified Kennedy as the state's winner by 115 votes, and that's whose slate of electors was chosen by the man who would finish second to Kennedy in the race, Vice President Richard Nixon.
Dom, I'd like to update the Wisconsin example, because Caitlin Collins was questioning specifically why Bob Spindell is still a Wisconsin elections commissioner if he was a fake elector. And Sarah Godlewski, the Secretary of State, called publicly, and it became national news, that Bob Spindell should go. I think we featured that similar theme here on the show yesterday. Yeah, Bob Spindell must go as a Wisconsin elections commissioner. But you remember when Patrick Marley, before he was with the Washington Post, he was with the Journal Sentinel.
Yeah.
Do you know a false Wisconsin elector went on a podcast in 2022 and described the scene of the day? Here's the headline from the Journal Sentinel at that time. Wisconsin Republicans who posed as electors met in a secret location, brought armed security with them. Here is how it was reported. Wisconsin Republicans who posed as presidential electors in 2020 met secretly for an hour before filling out official looking paperwork at the state capitol and were accompanied by armed security, according to one of the participants. The account given a year ago in a podcast by would-be elector Bill Feehan provides one of the most detailed descriptions yet of the meeting that is now being scrutinized by federal prosecutors and by the U.S. House Committee investigating last year's riot at the U.S. Capitol. Here's how Feehan describes the scene. I left my house a little after 8 o'clock and drove to a secret meeting place in Madison and met all the other electors there. There was security, armed security, to protect us. And other officials from the Republican Party of Wisconsin were there. He said in a podcast, it's all super secret for security reasons. So we met in a secret location. We made it for almost an hour before they took us to the state capitol. Republicans viewed secrecy for the meeting in Wisconsin and other states as important, according to legal memos from Donald Trump's campaign that were made public Wednesday by the New York Times. It might be preferable for them to meet in private, if possible, to thwart the ability of protesters to disrupt the event, according to attorney Kenneth Cheesebro. In a January 9th, 2020 memo, the memo, like one written 3 weeks earlier, was directed to James Troupas. We've heard that name so often, Dom.
Oh, yeah.
The former Dane County judge who oversaw Trump's legal operation in Wisconsin as he pursued recounts and legal challenges to Joe Biden's victory in the state. That supposed nuisance lawsuit that Ron Johnson referenced? Well, Cheesebro, who apparently, according to CNN, is now cooperating with Wisconsin prosecutors. We haven't confirmed that independently. And Jim Troupas, they are still defendants just because the others settled Ron. Right. They didn't let the big fish off the hook. And I would wonder.
Oh, the civil case still goes against Cheesebro.
I would wonder if somewhere deep down, someone's evaluating Ron's participation. A prosecutor of some sort. One must
can only hope.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. You know, we like to keep it real up in here. We've got some fine guests joining me in studio next here in the Solidarity Realty Mad Radio 92.7 FM studios. Chaos Riddle, she is with Santas Without Chimneys. They do excellent work. They provide hope and gifts to homeless children at the holidays. Stick around, more Devils.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's economy ended the year in good shape. The state's unemployment rate is 3.3%. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development says a record 3 million people plus were working in Wisconsin at the end of November. The Journal Sentinel reports the biggest problem with Wisconsin's economy is not enough workers to fill job openings. Toys should be safer than ever. Congress passed tougher regulations in 2008, but experts are still urging parents to inspect their kids' holiday gifts.
Especially if you're talking about a younger child. But inspect that toy, make sure that none of the parts have come loose. Nothing could come off that could endanger them or be a choking hazard.
Teresa Murray is with the U.S. Public Interest Research Group. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The minimum wage in Minnesota is set to increase at the start of the new year. As of January 1st, employers with annual gross revenue of at least $500,000 will need to pay a minimum wage of at least $10.85 per hour. Smaller employers making less than $500,000 will need to pay at least $8.85 per hour. Additionally, the training wage rate for employees younger than 20 years old and the youth wage rate for employees under 18 years old will be $8.85. A study performed by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration found Wisconsin has the second highest rate of car crashes caused by animals in the country. According to the study, 14% of fatal crashes in the state since 2017 have involved live animals. Montana had the highest rate of animal-involved crashes at 23%. They also recommend that Wisconsin drivers try to use brighter lights at night when the typical involved animals are most active and avoid swerving if they see an animal in the road. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Packers head to Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the border battle. The Packers and the Vikings on Sunday Night Football, New Year's Eve, inside the big glass box with huge speakers. In downtown Minneapolis, known as U.S. Bank Stadium, both teams at 7-8, still alive for a playoff spot. Matt LaFleur.
I think this is one of the best venues to go play a football game in. Their fans are very supportive of the home team, and they do a great job of making it chaotic for the opposing team, especially for opposing offenses.
College football, the Badgers are in Tampa getting ready for Monday's ReliaQuest Bowl. Kickoff 11 a.m. on New Year's Day. Luke Fickell says to beat number 13th ranked LSU, he's counting on Wisconsin's offensive line.
You know, I really like where we are with those five guys, the Jack Nelsons and you know, Riley Malmans and Joe Hubers. It's played a lot of football. In particular, those guys have got to be tough, nasty dudes.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight to a low in the low 20s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, a few flurries in the afternoon and evening, a high in the low 30s. Some snow showers tomorrow night, then more clouds and low 30s for Sunday. Sunshine is back for New Year's Day Monday, high near 30. It's 32 degrees.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates, political commentary from the back of the class.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Thursday, that makes it Friday Eve up in here, Dom edition. We got a fine guest. He's joining us right now live via stream. He is Lorenzo Santos. He is a candidate a Democratic candidate for Wisconsin's first CD. Lorenzo, welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here, Mike.
Well, I've got to confess, this visit a little past due, man. I met you a couple months ago. I was very impressed with you. You gave it a fine speech at a Delavan Democratic Party fundraiser, Lake Lawn Resort, I believe. And man, I thought you were on fire that night. I thought you did a hell of a job. So is this your first foray into politics, Lorenzo? What's your background? What's your resume?
Yeah, this is my first time as a candidate. I've been able to be in politics kind of behind the scenes, making sure that a lot of the great people that we have representing us and the elected officials that we have right now are supported as a volunteer. I've volunteered for a lot of the local races in my area. And this is the first time that I've kind of been out front as the candidate, you know, that is seeking to be on the ballot. So it's a little bit different, definitely different skill set, but I'm learning a lot as I go.
First congressional district, help us define geographically, where about is the first? If you're listening on WRJN 1400 AM or WAUK, you might be in the first, but Lorenzo, help them define it a little bit.
Yeah, you've got the southern tip of Milwaukee. You've got Kenosha, Racine, Walworth, and Rock counties. So it is a large geographic area in the southeastern portion of the state, right around the border between, you know, the state of Wisconsin and Illinois. So we've got a lot of folks down here.
Okay, Lorenzo, how about professional resume? Tell us what in the private sector or your prior work experience, what makes you qualified? Why are you the right candidate for the first CD, sir?
Yeah, thank you for that question. You know, I have a broad resume, a broad experience, and, you know, I was a naval officer active duty. I've been in business. I've been in sales and in the manufacturing sector. I have learned a lot about what makes a business run, heard a lot of the decisions that go into that business, have seen how that impacts a lot of the, you know, terrific family-owned businesses across the Midwest. I was responsible for sales for a large manufacturing company in 12 states. So my job was to travel throughout the Midwest. So I've heard a lot of the stories. I've seen what it means when a business is struggling and what the companies are doing on the back end and the decisions that can be made that would either help or exacerbate the situation. I've seen what happens to workforces in downturns of the economy. I've seen how that interface, you know, how he can look at that and figure out how that interfaces with the decisions that elected officials are making. I've been in the military. Right now, I'm in the Navy Reserve. And my job right now, my day job, is I'm in emergency management. So I get to work with every facet of the community, elected officials. I get to work with fire, EMS, law enforcement, business counterparts and every kind of stakeholder you can think of in the community. And those collective experiences really inform my worldview. And I think that I can bring a lot to the first district with that experience.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That is Lorenzo Santos. He's a congressional candidate for Wisconsin's first district. Lorenzo, thanks for coming on. Great to meet you. Congress, man, they hold the purse strings. Lorenzo, let's get into some of the politics of it all.
Yeah.
A lot of concern about the national debt these days. Right. What's your sense? How did we get here and where do we go from here? In your opinion, sir?
Yeah, you know, when we're talking about the national debt, I think what a lot of folks are not realizing is, you know, on the GOP side, they're talking about runaway spending. On the Democratic side, we're talking about people still need services that ensure that they can live in this country and thrive. And a lot of the time, those policies come down to, it's not even necessarily monetary. It comes down to priorities. A lot of times you see the GOP, when we have to make these decisions, it comes down to profit and power. And when it comes down to Democratic decisions, we talk about people. Just look at how they vote. Look at how the GOP votes. It's usually not about people. It's about how much power can we have and how much profit can we ensure that these corporations and millionaires and billionaires are able to keep. And we have to be very, very clear on what our priorities are. My priority is on people. And I think that should be you know, a non-starter if it's not. That is something I'm not willing to compromise on. And if you look at my opponent, the decisions that he continuously makes is about power and it's about profit. It's about making sure that the rich and the powerful continue to get ahead, and the millions of Americans, everyday Americans, that don't necessarily want, you know, special treatment, but want a level playing field, they're going to get left behind if we continue to go in this direction.
Lorenzo, your opponent was one of every Republican in the state of Wisconsin to vote officially for an inquiry of President Joe Biden, an impeachment inquiry investigation. And there's a lot of comparisons from the Republican side about, well, you know, essentially that, well, Joe Biden did it. Now this is, we have all these questions. They did it to Donald Trump, and now they're doing it to Joe Biden because we have all these right. questions. What was your sense? What's your thought on the first two impeachments of Donald Trump? Do you think they were justified? And where do you stand on this current impeachment inquiry of President Biden?
Yeah, I know they were justified. And there is a full body of case law that has shown it. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of the time when we're looking at what Congress does, they're not necessarily making these decisions based on the legality. They're making it based on, you know, politics and these cynical decisions that are getting in the way of the business of supporting the American people. We know that we're watching what's happening to Hunter Biden. They just watch what they're doing. They want a lot of this stuff to happen behind closed doors. So that lack of transparency already shows you that they want to minimize the embarrassing moments. Because we know what happens when the GOP leads. They embarrass themselves. Well, when they try to lead, because they have a terrible, you know, they have a terrible job at trying to govern. We watched that with them recently just trying to elect their speaker. If you cannot elect the person that's supposed to lead you forward, and the person you elect is this person that basically no one's ever heard of, but we can all agree that a lot of the decisions that they're making already are showing that they're just going to go in the same direction. We have a problem. We need to ensure that we have people in the speaker's chair that understand that first and foremost, you need to believe in the rule of law. You need to believe in democracy. You need to believe in the Constitution and what, you know, the current Speaker of the House has done over time has shown that he doesn't believe in any of those things. So we need a change in leadership, and what the GOP right now is doing, pure politics. We will see that the legality, their legal arguments are going to fall flat. Their standard bearer, Donald Trump, is still in a lot of trouble. And that's not politics. Those are some serious crimes that he is being investigated for, and he's going to ultimately have to be held accountable for.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates, a Democrat running for Wisconsin's first congressional district. He is Lorenzo Santos. Had the opportunity to meet Brian Stiles in the public. He and Ron Johnson appearing together, I believe, in Whitewater recently. And Lorenzo, Brian Stiles, the congressman you would hope to oppose, was advocating for effectively the Trump policies, the border policies. And that included things like separating children from their families. First and foremost, sir, do you perceive the nation as currently having an immigration problem? And as a congressman, what would be your advocacy? How do you think we solve it?
Yeah, so the nation does not have an immigration problem. What we have is a compassion problem. We need to understand that this is a nation that people come to because we have opportunity. We are a nation that people want to come to because we have the opportunity to be educated, to get a good education here. We have the opportunity for work. And a lot of these jobs, you know, a lot of these folks are saying that, you know, the people who are migrating here are stealing our jobs. A lot of the jobs that they take are largely jobs that Americans won't do. And if you look at business, you know, if you look at the ability to innovate, a lot of the people who have immigrated here are responsible for a lot of the innovation. A lot of them are the entrepreneurs that have taken this country to new heights. So if you want to cut those people off, you're going to cut off the growth that this country has experienced and the reason that we are such a great nation. I do not think we have an immigration problem in that respect. Now, do we need to have laws and do we need to enforce those laws in terms of immigration in general. Yes, you know, the GOP likes to talk about open borders. That's not what's happening. In fact, Democratic administrations have actually been responsible for record highs of deportation. So this is not a matter of just let everyone come into the country. There's no stopping them. That's not true. You even had Vice President Harris say something that, you know, people were shocked to hear a Democratic elected official say, don't come, right? So we can believe and we can enforce, you know, our borders, but we have to understand that we do need to ensure that there is a viable pathway for people to come into this country, because ultimately the diversity of this country and the ability for more people to come in, our immigrants make this country great. And I will make sure that we are continuing to fight for policies that ensure that they have a pathway to citizenship.
Democratic congressional candidate Lorenzo Santos, Joe Biden coming to town next week to Madison, just north of the first congressional district. We don't know where yet, but we'll keep you posted. Some that would run for Congress or Senate maybe wouldn't want to run on the policies of Joe Biden. You know, you look at some of the polling, you look at some of the, I would say, misplaced blame for the quote-unquote bad economy. I think it's pretty damn good. But here's the question. Are you out there running on the Biden policies? How do you go about differentiating, or do you embrace the Biden-Harris ticket?
Oh, of course. I absolutely embrace the Biden-Harris ticket. Look, what we need to do is we need to be out there communicating why they are doing such a good job, why they deserve another term. The economy is a lot better than it's been. Inflation is becoming under control. If you look at what just happened, the Fed decided to keep the interest rates level. Now, look, Americans don't generally want to hear me say that the economy is doing better, because a lot of them do not feel it, especially during the holidays. We are on an upward trend. We are improving the economy. It is going to take time to move something as big as the U.S. economy in a way that people can feel the effects. But help is on the way. The economy is improving, and the Biden-Harris administration is responsible for a lot of that growth and a lot of that improvement. We have made serious investments. We have made investments in climate solutions to ensure that we can invest more in renewable energy, which is going to lower energy costs, which people who are not making as much in the world are going to see less cost on their pocketbooks and in their wallets. The Biden-Harris administration has ensured something as simple as broadband internet. It's cheaper for folks. They've ensured that healthcare costs are lower. That's a really big deal. Healthcare costs are lower. And you talk about Donald Trump is trying to get rid of healthcare altogether with no viable alternative. It makes no sense. And the GOP is right behind him on that. So a lot of these policies are directly related to making it better for everyday Americans, ensuring that everyday Americans have a fair shot. And I absolutely support what they're doing, and we need to make sure that they have four more years.
Lorenzo Santos, just south of the first congressional district is Illinois, and marijuana is legal there. But of course, we have this state-by-state patchwork and prohibition here in the state of Wisconsin. If elected to the Congress, would you advocate for legalizing recreational marijuana, descheduling marijuana, cannabis?
Absolutely. You know, we need to make sure that we are, first of all, decriminalizing it, because a lot of folks that are in prison should not be there for something that a lot of people are profiting off in all the surrounding states of Wisconsin. And we have one of the highest rates of incarceration in the entire world in Wisconsin. And a lot of that is because we have put people behind bars for marijuana, for a drug that a lot of other states are able to not only sell and people are making money off of, but they're also able to get very much needed revenue from that. We need to be making sure that we're protecting folks and not criminalizing it, and also taking those revenues to bring more money into the state.
Lorenzo, give them your website, man, so people can support you. Quick.
Absolutely. Please visit us at santosforwisconsin.com or find us at santosforwisconsin.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Jahnke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the fabulous farm babe Pam Jahnke on the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 a.m. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The big and tall of political talk. The Devil's Advocates.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of the Devil's Advocates radio show.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
I want to thank our most recent guest, the fine one, Lorenzo Santos. He is a Democratic candidate for the first CD here in the great state of Wisconsin. If he wins an August primary, then he will go against Brian Steil, the current placeholder in that seat. I was very impressed with Lorenzo when I first met him, when I first heard him on the stump, given, you know, why me, that speech. I did not recall or hear that night, though. I didn't know he was a Navy man. Try not to hold that against him.
Army guy.
Yeah. Actually, I appreciate, in all honesty, I appreciate the fact that he is a Navy man, an officer, and a gentleman. One must assume, Dom.
Great to meet Lorenzo. Hope to have him back again. Look forward to seeing how that race pans out.
You're neither of those things.
Never said I was, man. 844-967-2789.
Dom, there is, I should make note of the fact, we should acknowledge we have met at least one other candidate in the first CD, Diane Anderson. She's been on the show. And if more jump in, we'll probably bring more on the show because we try to, you know, even them up and represent and figure out and let you decide who is the best candidates. But there are really only two competitive districts, congressionally speaking, in the state of Wisconsin. Two that really, really matter. I wish it was more. I really do. Because I know some people that would really love to run against Mike Gallagher. Really talented, great candidate kind of people. And it's like a Republican red plus 15 plus 18 district. It makes it very hard to want to go and be a sacrificial lamb. But here in the great state of Wisconsin, Dom, the first is in play. Brian Steil is vulnerable. At least this is a, you know, something of a coin flip district within the margin of error district. Racine, Kenosha, Walworth County. And Delavan's in Walworth County. It was the Walworth County Dems that threw the big shindig where I met Lorenzo Santos. And the other very important district, of course, the third CD, Derek Van Orden, your buddy over there in southwestern Wisconsin, the carpetbagger turned insurrectionist turned child screamer. turned all around small guy, question mark?
Office partier?
I can confirm.
Carrying guns on the planer?
From my wife's personal experience, she was there advocating in D.C. I was not in the office of Congressman, I hate to use that term with him, of Rep. Van Orden. But they did offer her a beer at 10:30 Eastern time, 9:30 Central. She's from Wisconsin, Dom. You know, it's constituent. They're probably drinking by now.
Nothing like perpetuating the stereotype from a guy who's not even from here.
I saw AI picture representing what a Wisconsinite would look like. And it was, you know, like a graying guy with the Fu Man sitting with with a beer in front of a barbecue grill in front of a cornfield with a Packers jersey on.
Yeah, the cheese head on too.
No cheese head. Actually, no cheese head. The guy had way too good a hair for the average Wisconsinite. You know, because this is like a 50-something dude, you know, like think 55. I don't see many 55-year-olds with a full head of hair, but this
AI-generated
Wisconsinite had it. Hey, you're not 55 yet.
Not yet. It's still there, though. I would hope there's... Come on, man. Did Glenn Grothman run unopposed last time?
Yes, as did Geller.
That should not be the case, man. I mean, someone's got to run. Someone's got to... Even if you bring them out, man, you bring a few out. Because it's certainly it's about your race. Hey, it's about other races as well. So why don't you get up there, Cody?
I got a house in Green Lake.
Come on, man. You go hit it up, dude.
You got real estate in the 6CD, Dom.
You got Plainfield. You go knock it out. You got the time. I don't have the time, Cody. You're gonna have to do it. Someone's going to take on Grothman.
I
want to know who's going to take on Grothman.
If I were to run against Grothman, that would take me off the radio, Dom. They're not going to let that pass.
Minute. Only for a minute. Man.
Well,
only for a minute.
We'll see how the spring goes. I've got a busy travel schedule. I don't know if I've shared this with you and the fine audience, Dom, but here's my plan. Can I share? Is this okay? Can I tell people?
Yeah, man, knock it out.
So I've already made reservations to be in Des Moines, Iowa on January 10th and 11th. And there is a Republican debate in Des Moines at the Drake. I hate the Drake. The Drake's like Drake University is the site of the debate. So I've been up there, and the last time I wasn't allowed in the undersized spin room, and this was the Democrats keeping me out. And I requested credentials, and I'm already on the short list of like, hey, we acknowledge your request, but we're not going to be able to honor all the requests. There's a lot of people. And I do know the back passage from the debate stage to the spin room.
You've had the walk of shame before.
I had to stake it out the last time because that's the only place I could get anybody to give me any sound. I couldn't go in the spin room. But you really, really, Dom, and you and I know this because we were in Des Moines the very first time in January of 2015 for the Iowa Freedom, Freedom, Freedom Caucus. Citizens United, big soiree at Drake University, I believe. But anyways, the real reason you go to Des Moines is the downtown Marriott and the hotel bar there. It's right in the lobby, and the world comes to you.
Yeah, great lobby bar.
Best political eyeballing, loose-lipping lobby bar in the entire United States. So I can't tell you what the hell they're going to talk about on the debate stage. But once their staffers get hammer drunk later that night, I'm going to be playing third base at the bar, Dom. I'm going to be buying some of those drinks. I'm going to be helping them along. No, you don't need water. No water for you. More
come
rum.
On. Your room's right upstairs. What's the problem? This is Iowa.
Nobody's driving. So I'm going to bring you back some stories from the Marriott downtown Des Moines lobby bar. And then, Dom, the caucus the following Monday, January 15th. Historically, we've gone to Loras College in Dubuque. You coming with?
We'll see. I'm working on it.
Oh, come on, man. You know, I got a road trip planned in Vegas in February.
A road trip?
Well,
driving to Vegas?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. All right. No, I'm not doing that.
You want a piece of a Vegas vacation, Dom? Because I got accommodations at the Circus for you.
Don't splurge again, man.
And then Michigan later in the month. And then perhaps Arizona in March. North Carolina on Super Tuesday. And then Wisconsin, April 2nd.
Wow,
got my whole
quick.
Spring planned.
It's coming quick.
I'm doing it, Dom, with or without you. Crudy's going on the road, bringing you the relevance right here on the greatest radio show ever. That's why you listen.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
We here at WBZH The Buzz have partnered with the Hayward Chamber of Commerce to remind you to shop local this holiday season. Small local businesses are the lifeblood of the community, and preserving them is key to preserving those things we most enjoy about the Northwoods. Small businesses are the first in local employment and charitable giving, and shopping local is the best way to stimulate a small town economy. The Hayward Chamber of Commerce and WBZH The Buzz are especially thankful to those who choose local small businesses first this holiday season.
Is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A veto of a transgender bill.